The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. It's time to put your money where your values lie. Break free from your big bank. Visit DuPageCU.com/join today. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured.
It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Podcast time, Abdallah. Here it is. Podcast. Black and Abdallah podcast. No show tonight, but we have a podcast for you on the ESPN Chicago app.
312-332-3776 is our number. If you want to get a hold of us, follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Bleck. Also on Instagram at Adam A. Abdallah and at C. Bleck for that. Also follow the Bleck and Abdallah page on Instagram. We got to get those Instagram followers up, I feel like. But yeah, 312-332-3776. We have taken a phone call before on a podcast. We'll do it again. Don't threaten us. But if someone happens to call in while we're recording, I'll pick up. No, you don't want me to?
No, just you're giving out the phone number here on a podcast. We're going to be long gone from the studio when this is published.
That's fine.
Posted.
Call.
So,
say you
so
talk
the phone
to us.
Number being handed out here at the beginning by you, completely unnecessary.
No, when you're listening, call in. I'm sure Danny or Randy Merkin would love to talk to you. Or maybe it's me. Maybe you're listening to this in the evening. Maybe Tyler wants to talk to you.
Sure.
Maybe Sean wants to talk to you.
Well, I'm not saying that the producing staff here at the station won't want to talk to our lovely listeners who called the station throughout the day. The point is, you and I, for our purposes right now on this podcast, because we have no show tonight, we have no show tomorrow night, I believe we have no show on Thursday night. Do we have a show on Friday?
Nope.
No show on Friday night.
Yep.
So Wednesday is only the time that our listeners can connect with us on the phone lines, because that's the only time we are going to be on the air live, being able to take phone calls. It's Wednesday night on ESPN 1000.
But here's the thing. I give it out tonight, right? And I say, hey, call me maybe. And then someone's listening to this. And then maybe tomorrow night when we're recording this.
How do they know when we're going to record?
That's the mystery.
How do they know the amount of time that it'll take for us to finish up other duties before we can actually record a podcast?
If you are an avid listener of ESPN 1000, it's pretty easy to deduce when we're recording these things. It's pretty easy to figure out. The only one that might be different is Thursday, because we could possibly record that during one of the during the first White Sox game. Like we could.
Sure.
Okay, right. But normally we record these after Waddle and Sylvie when we would normally. So if you listen, it's pretty easy to deduce, to figure out. It's not tough. You don't need to be Sherlock Holmes or Watson or a Hardy Boy or a member of the Babysitters Club. Did they solve mysteries?
I think they babysat.
Oh, yeah, that's probably right. Oh, the Olsen twins. They went on mysteries.
They did.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
They certainly did.
They went on mysteries.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be an Olsen twin to figure it out. Or Elizabeth Olsen, who might have assisted in a mystery or three.
How do you want to do this?
You want to talk Bears?
You want to talk about the game yesterday or talk about what we heard from Matt Nagy today at Halas
Hall? I think we talked about the game yesterday. You know, we were both there, so we can talk about it on and off the field, you know, the first game back with fans.
It was awesome. It was great to finally be back at Soldier Field. And think about it. In 2019, the season ended in a disappointing fashion. So, like, the end of the year was not really fun to head to Soldier Field and to be there. Mm-hmm. This was fun. It was from the start of the game, before the national anthem started playing, people were ready to go. They handed out towels at every seat. People are waving the towels. People are really into it and excited to be back in the stadium. And it was good to see some old friends and old faces in the seats in your section, and everyone come back together to the stadium, kind of like half post-pandemic. You know, I know that in parts of this country it's still going like wildfire.
Yeah.
But like in other parts, it's like it's nice to get back to normal life, thus getting back to Bears games and being able to cheer on a team that won a football game, which I think makes all the difference in the world as well.
I also think it mattered how they won the game too. Yeah, the offense wasn't as good as people wanted, right? Fields goes in, he has an okay game. Doesn't have a horrible game. But to have those three interceptions in a row, like, that's how, like, the crowd was amped after the first one, amped.
Yeah.
Second one,
no doubt,
even better. I feel like that's how, especially Bears fans, because, you know, defense first, all that kind of stuff. I feel like that was the perfect game. I know it's the Bengals. They're not good. But still, it was just fun because those turnovers weren't there last year. They weren't there the year before that. So it's nice to see that, and that's how you amp up a crowd who's just kind of sitting through a game, because we're sitting there, we're at halftime, we're like, all right, there's been one offensive touch. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, I would say this. It was a Lovie Smith era win.
Yes.
It was where the offense couldn't really do a whole lot. There was nothing that was terrible necessarily on offense, but it never really got clicking. And then the Roquan Smith interception return for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That, to me, reminded me of Lance Briggs or Brian Urlacher picking off a quarterback, making the splash play for the game on all the highlight shows later that night. That's the play that was shown from yesterday's game. So, like, to me, that interception, then you get the two other interceptions. It felt very Lovie Smith era to the whole environment on the day. And I think, like, here's the thing that needs to be said. And, you know, my dad is sitting there in our seats with us, and we're talking about it at the end of the game. And Justin Fields throws that bad interception, which the Bengals then on the next play find Ja'Marr Chase in the end zone for a touchdown. They're only down three. It's a bad interception. But this is how you need to play this season, because what this is all about, I know the Bears are trying to do two different things at once, which I don't think is the right move, but what this season is about is preparing Justin Fields for week one of next season to be ready to go, to be competing for a championship. If not for a championship, being one of the best teams in the NFC, because the idea would be if he can work through learning now, and as we get towards the midway point of this season and we head towards the end of the year, he can hopefully start improving to the point where now he's the talk of the NFL as, look at this up-and-coming quarterback, kind of like what we saw with Justin Herbert last year, or maybe even Joe Burrow before he got hurt. And that's the idea. You know, we saw it from Kyler Murray as a rookie. He struggled at times, but by the end of his rookie season, it was like, damn, Kyler Murray's really good. And, like, you can then start to plan from the next season where the guy's ready to just take off from the moment the season starts, because that's going to be the problem. If they do this jostling back and forth or holding on to Dalton as the starting quarterback for the majority of this year, we're going to get to the end of this season and not even give Justin Fields enough experience to then, when we get to training camp next year, the conversation is going to be about him learning the offense and getting his feet wet and all this garbage. That's not what this is about. If the Bears win this year, cool. But more importantly, they need to be ready to win next season. That's the most important thing. And they need to have Justin Fields ready for that moment. And I think the best way to prepare a quarterback for that is to play him as soon as possible to allow him to work out the mistakes and the issues, just like we saw with the offensive line in the multiple false starts that we saw yesterday.
Yeah, and the problem to me was you're looking at two false starts, right? You're looking at the way Fields reacted on those false starts. It seemed like there was an issue getting the play in. Not from his end. He seemed like he was ready. I don't know if Nagy has a plan. And this is all part of it, right? There's no progression to the play calling. And I think you saw that yesterday. You saw a guy who was exposed for just picking out plays out of a hat. And he's like, well, we should do this. Well, that worked. We should do this. Well, that didn't work. We should do this. There's no, like, flow. Like, I bet you if you walked into Kyle Shanahan's office and set him up in that same situation, he would know the order of plays that they were going to call when Fields came in. They're like, all right, you've got Dalton, you've got Fields. You've got these plays for Dalton, you've got these plays for Fields. Dalton gets hurt. What are you doing? And I'm sure Shanahan would be like, all right, well, we're going to do this and then this and then, and like, you know, we'll run the ball, we'll get play action, we'll work off of this stuff, we'll get him, we'll build his confidence with a few quick, easy throws, like that kind of thing, right? And I just feel like you didn't see that from Nagy. Like, he just didn't know what to do. It seemed like he wasn't prepared for Fields to go in there. And you're right about getting him ready for next season, because you look at the other side of the ball, right? Joe Burrow throws three interceptions in a row.
Yeah.
Are they saying he's not ready now? Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson throws three interceptions. Are they saying he's not ready now? Trevor Lawrence does that. Are they saying he's not ready now? The only person you're hearing this from is Matt Nagy and the Bears. That's the only people you're hearing it from. Because for some reason, they need to prove that they were right about Andy Dalton. He's ready. This was the Bengals. You barely beat the Bengals. Like, that's it. Victory Monday, that's all cool. You barely beat the Bengals. Okay?
But the key is, it's okay to win ugly
that's
if
fine.
The young quarterback is developing along the way. Like, yesterday, see, like, that's the thing. There's probably a lot of people who listen to the podcast who are like, yeah, but the offense sucked. Like, how are we supposed to do anything if the offense sucks and the quarterback can't do it at the moment? That's not the point. If you're playing close games and kind of winning ugly, it's okay if you have the rookie quarterback getting the reps. Now, if it's Dalton in there and you're winning ugly,
yeah,
there's no point in that. There's
that's
zero point in what you're doing with that.
Because if the defense continues to play this way like they did against the Bengals, which... who knows? They may not. Are you going to get three interceptions in a row in every single game? Of course not. But if you can generate one turnover a game, maybe two turnovers a game, something like that, and create good field positioning for your offense, then why aren't you running the kid out there? Because he gives you, it's clear yesterday, the throws he was making, the shots they were taking downfield, it is clear that he gives them the best chance to win. I don't care if he throws the interception or not. It's a learning tool. Because he said it before. All right, well, I learn. I watched the tape. I've made the mistake. I watched the tape. I'm never going to make that mistake again. And as long as he doesn't make that mistake again, he's still learning. It's okay to learn on the job. This team isn't built to win right now anymore, right? This team isn't the team from 3 years ago where you just got Khalil Mack, you've got 1,000 turnovers, and the only reason you're not winning is because you can't generate an offense and Trubisky's killing you. This team ain't ready to win right now. You have to get Fields ready for next season, like you said.
I'd say it was a great throw to Allen Robinson right through the wickets.
Oh.
I mean, that was a perfectly placed ball because not only did the cornerback not turn by the time Robinson turned the corner and the ball was right there at the edge of the end zone, like it was dropped in the bucket.
Yeah.
And that's something that Bears wide receivers have not had to experience. A quarterback who can see the play and drop it in.
That's why
like
he wasn't
that.
Ready for it. He's like, oh no, a good throw.
No, but now they have to take advantage. And I think it's one of those things where like people would come back and be like, yeah, well the wide receivers dropped passes for Trubisky in the past. It's like, no, man, that one was different. That was a different pass. And that's something like what I think what will happen, and if we see him each and every week play, there's going to be a lot of this learning curve to take place, and a lot of mistakes, and a lot of procedural things that may not work and flow and all this stuff. But I think the one thing we can all agree upon, Justin Fields is going to make a play once a game, which proves to why he should be there.
Oh, yeah.
That was the throw.
He'll make a few
now,
of them.
Now, is it Justin's fault that it went through Allen Robinson's chest and right to the ground and he wasn't able to catch that? No, because if he makes that catch, we were talking about the splash play that was shown on the highlight shows.
Mm-hmm.
If Robinson makes that catch,
dude,
and the Bears go up by three scores,
dude,
and one of those scores is a 50-yard touchdown pass from Justin Fields to Allen Robinson, that's the play everyone's raving about today. And that's the play that's on the highlight shows, and that's what people are talking about. Instead, people are talking about, oh, is Justin Fields not ready or not? If you add that in as a touchdown catch, then the conversation about Fields being ready is different. And I think today when Matt Nagy spoke to the media at Hallis Hall, I feel like the response from the Bears would be a little bit different if you had that in the bank. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think they would still be so vocally pushing towards Andy Dalton if Fields went out and had a highlight play like that, because you can't deny something like that.
Well, here's the problem, too. The problem is you saw after the game, there's still truthers out there, you know, saying, oh, well, Trubisky did this in a game and that, and look what Fields is doing. And, oh, see, he's not ready. See, the offensive line isn't ready. See, like, all this stuff. It's like, guys, watch the game. I'm going to say the exact same thing that I said about Trubisky. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Watch the games. Don't just look at the stats. Watch the games. Trubisky's not making throws like that.
No.
Don't give me the Washington game or the Cowboys game or the second half of the playoff game against the Eagles with the double doink. Don't give me that. Watch him play. You can tell that one of them is destined to be a quarterback, a star quarterback in the league, and one of them just happened to be playing quarterback at the time.
You know, there's throws that he was making and not completing, but it looked right. And I think that's what you're saying here. Like Trubisky, you know, it's weird. Being at the stadium and sitting there, I wonder if those who listen to the show, who get to go to games, if they ever think the same thing like I do, where sometimes you can tell when a quarterback has it. You know, like a guy walking around the huddle, the way his teammates react to him, mm-hmm. what he does during timeouts. You know, at an NFL game, there's a lot of dead time that takes place if you're in the stadium, where when you're watching on TV because you're bombarded with commercials, you don't realize that both teams are standing out on the field for like 3 minutes between plays sometimes based on the timeouts and what's going on with the television side. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like Justin Fields, everything looks right. And I think that to me is something that I would like to be at a Jets game to figure out and whether or not if it looks right with Zach Wilson. Because you and I were skeptical about Zach Wilson coming into the draft process. Mm-hmm. And he shot up all the draft boards because he made one crazy throw at his pro day. And then now you're seeing him really struggle here in the first 2 weeks of the season. And it takes time to develop quarterbacks. But to me, Justin Fields looks right. Everything looks... He looks like a stud NFL quarterback. And I wonder if the same could be said about Zach Wilson, because the performance is not there. And I wonder if you watch him play, if you're like, ugh, that kid doesn't look like he has it.
Well, I'm wondering what it looks like for all these guys, right? Because you look at... Take the two quarterbacks. Take Lawrence and Fields, right? Lawrence and Fields operating in a college program that is basically an NFL program, right? Which the amount of coverage that Ohio State and Clemson get, they're basically an NFL program. I'm not saying that they're running NFL schemes and that kind of stuff, but they operate as if they're an NFL team. They're the guys are all 5-star recruits, 4-star recruits. They're playing with the best of the best. Every game is super meaningful. They're all on primetime TV. You have to carry yourself a different way. I'm wondering how that compares to what Zach Wilson and what eventually Trey Lance will deal with, because I'm not just trying to single out Zach Wilson, because Trey didn't play football for a year, right?
Yeah.
He was at a small school in North Dakota State the year before that. I'm just wondering how these guys carry themselves. And if you're saying that that's what you want Fields to learn, then why'd you take him from, then what does him, like, he went to Ohio State. It should, that stuff shouldn't be the issue.
Okay. Another random thought from yesterday, being at the game, you can think to yourself, yeah, we're talking throughout the game, but not having announcers dictate what you're kind of thinking throughout watching a game. So I was thinking, like, almost the same thought that you just mentioned. You think that Justin Fields, when he's in the huddle and he's listening to Nagy kind of figure out with his play sheet and all his menu there,
I wish we could hear that.
He's trying to go through his plays, because multiple times, I know you saw it, I saw it too. Justin was ready.
Yep.
He's motioning to Nagy, like, come on,
let's go.
Faster. What are we doing here? And he's just looking, and Nagy's standing over there with the menu in front of his face, taking forever. I want to know, did you think this? Because I thought it yesterday. Almost the same thing that you were just mentioning. At Ohio State, right, one of the best programs in all of college football, Clemson, Alabama, most of the top programs, not USC because they've got a lot of issues going on. They got Jackson Dart now, though. But a part of the problem with the bad teams in college football is not having organizational, like, structure when you're doing things, like calling offensive plays. And, like, so they look to the sidelines. You got four different guys making signs. You got the sign language. You got the big signs thing, all that stuff. You ever think that Justin Fields looks over at Nagy as he's taking forever?
This mother...
To call the perfect play. And he thinks to himself, well, hold on. I thought it was supposed to be a level up when you get to the NFL. You see what I'm saying? Because, like, there seemed to be a lot of communication issues that were based on the timing of what was being called to the sideline into the huddle. Now, I would assume the NFL is a level above college football. But then when you backtrack and you think about it, some of the college football programs at the very top are running at such an elite level offensively, especially with Ryan Day, with Lincoln Riley, with Bill O'Brien at Alabama, all of these different schools. I wonder if a guy like Justin Fields is like, come on, buddy. Let's go.
Well, not like, even
this,
him.
This what's, could be so much easier.
What's just, laser thinking?
Just give me what you need.
What's
come on.
What's laser even
come
there?
On,
like,
give
what's
it
he
to
thinking?
Me.
What's he even there for?
No, right. And like, and I wonder how much of this all goes back to Matt Nagy having zero clue on how to play call a game, zero clue on how to tie plays together, and just a complete random picking of plays. Because even when they got into the red zone, it seemed like some of the play calls that they were making, it didn't really make a whole lot of sense. And I don't think Matt Nagy put his rookie quarterback in a place to succeed very much yesterday. And I would have expected some bootlegs. I would have expected a little, a game plan to make it easier instead of just assuming that it should just all be.
Why aren't you running the same
the entire play?
Why are you running the same game plan that Trubisky ran?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't think he knows what he's doing.
If you're trying to make it easier, Waddle always said this before, you cut the field in half, right? So if you're trying to make it easier and only make him have to worry about half the field, and just if because we're dealing with an emergency situation, right? Yesterday was an emergency situation, okay? They didn't have the whole week of Fields practicing, all that kind of stuff. Fields comes in for injury, and then he's in the rest of the game.
There should have been an adjustment.
Of course there should have been. You just call those plays. And to me, this even goes back to week one against the Rams in that early timeout. How do you not have your first 15 scripted? What are you taking a timeout for? And
I don't know, man.
And burning one that fast.
I do not know.
And this it leads me to believe that they don't script plays for the first 15, like everybody else does.
And it also, it's so obvious when they're going to have issues on situations like that. That's what's crazy to me. It's so obvious. When they have issues, it's when there's a big play, and then you have to tack on something after the big play, and you look over, and the quarterback and the offensive line's ready, yet Nagy is still standing there with the menu trying to figure out what he's doing. I don't know. We watch way too much football, both on Saturday and Sundays, to let this slide. I don't think he has any clue of what he's doing as a play caller.
I don't think so either. And it's obvious just based on the false starts from yesterday, the timeout from week one early in the game, the fact that they didn't have a different game plan or didn't seem like there was a different game. There were some deeper shots. But other than that, like, you should have that game plan in all the time, regardless of who your quarterback is. But you should be able to have a set of plays for Fields in an emergency.
Not to outdo you, but here's the final thought on all of it. My final thought is this. If the offense and your quarterback's not ready, you have no one to blame but yourself.
What
was the point of wasting training camp and wasting the preseason to not have Justin Fields prepared to play? That's it. End of story. Matt Nagy, you are to blame for this.
Yeah.
You didn't allow him to take reps as the number one. You didn't allow him to compete. And thus, we get to game two, quarter one, and he has to go in, and things don't look right. Well, you didn't prepare him.
Yeah.
He should have been prepared to be the starter from the jump, and if you had to play Dalton, you could. Because why? Because Dalton's a vet. He could handle it. But outside of that, the inability to have Justin Fields ready to go is a complete failure on Matt Nagy. That's it. He's the one that put it in this situation. You know how any other team in the league would have handled this? Except for Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love? Any other team in the league would have said, you know what? We signed Andy Dalton. We drafted Justin Fields. The best quarterback at the end of training camp will be our starter, and we'll go from there. Open quarterback competition. Good luck to both. Because we like competition here at the Chicago Bears, and we want to win football games. But instead, whatever took place did not prepare Justin Fields for that situation. Thus, he looked the way he did yesterday. Only Matt Nagy can blame himself for that. They decided to do it this way. So, I mean, there it is. Final word. That's the word.
final word.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, like, you can't say anything else because he put him in that situation. They didn't prepare Justin Fields to be the starter. Last week, he was taking the scout team reps. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I think it's Dante Hall. Is he on NFL Network?
Maybe. Yes.
He does the wrap-up show.
Is he
the one that had all the touchdown returns in his career, interception touchdown returns for the Falcons? Mm-hmm. He was saying, what is the point of putting a draft pick like Justin Fields on scout team? He's like, the scout team's the most pointless thing possible throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that last night on NFL Network. I was like, thank you. Yes. Like, why is Justin Fields not being prepared each and every, even if he doesn't start? Shouldn't he be in the system to be prepared, to get as many reps possible, to be prepared for that moment? It's just crazy.
One would think.
Black and Abdal, we have no show tonight. That's why this podcast is in your ears. We have no show tomorrow night.
Programming note.
Oh, you have a programming note. You need the chimes?
Programming note.
Yep.
We have a show tomorrow night.
Why?
The White Sox game, tomorrow's White Sox game, has been moved up to an 11:30 pregame show.
All right.
And a 12:10 first pitch.
Okay.
Meaning you will have a Bleck and Abdallah show on Tuesday night because due to inclement weather, the game has been moved up.
Okay, we're breaking news on a podcast that will be posted at a later date and time. Therefore, this really isn't breaking news.
Yeah.
But clearly, Abdallah's doing something in there, which means people are asking him if they have to come to work.
No, I was checking my email.
All right. All right. I mean, like, listen, no days off. But the one thing that we don't need, because we care the White Sox on our station, is a White Sox report.
We don't need it.
You know, we don't need such a thing. We have the Sox. They're what? Magic number of 3.
Now down to 3.
So to clinch the American League Central, there's no need. Len Casper comes on Waddle and Sylvie. Mm-hmm. He joins the guys. Mm-hmm. Chuck Garfine talks White Sox baseball. Connor McKnight, pre- and post-game host, he comes on all the shows. A lot of White Sox conversation here on the station. But yet our friend Brian O'Connor continues to send us weekly reports.
Let's go, 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 White Sox!
Connor's proud of you.
Thanks, guys. Well, another good week from the Sox. They are just piling them up like that. Looking really good. They are just strolling their way into the playoffs. Looking really comfortable in all these games. You know, I don't think they're going to make that push for the number one seed, but that's okay. You know, they're going to be fine. They're going to be set up. I don't think it's going to be like a record-setting season, but whoa, sorry. Can't talk about records without mentioning Patrick Wisdom. He's done it. He ripped the mantle from Chris Bryant. He just ripped it away from him. Yes, that's right. The Cubs rookie home run record belongs to one man and one man only, and that's Patty Wisdom. Whatever. I don't want to rag on the guy. He's a young buck. Oh, wait, no, he's 29 years old. But, you know, whatever. It's fine. It's a feel-good story. They're all feel-good stories right over there on the north side. Everything's just lovable losers and yucking it up and everybody's a winner. And, well, except the Cubs aren't winners, right? The Brewers had beaten them like 11 straight games before they happened to win one finally. But, you know, congrats to them and congrats to old Patty Wisdom. He struck out 18 times this weekend, but, you know, he did hit a home run or two, so good for him, and thanks for letting me talk about the White Sox.
Let's go, 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 White Sox!
Bro Connor's proud of you!
Magic number of 3 for the White Sox, and he's yelling about Patrick Wisdom.
That's fantastic. Let's get to the song of the night.
I wanna rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial, because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume, because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
Song of the Night is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Chicago College Football is back, and Coach Fitz and the 2020 Big Ten West Division champs host Rutgers, Minnesota, Iowa, Purdue all this fall. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Tonight's Song of the Night, Carly Rae Jepsen, Call Me Maybe.
I threw a wish in the well.
You got that one.
I'll never tell. I look to you as it fell, and now you're in my way. I trade my soul for a wish. Pennies and
kind of upset we're not on the air for this one.
I wasn't looking for this, but now
could go one of two ways. People really be into it or really hate it.
Who doesn't like this song? So this song was released 10 years ago today.
Years ago today, huh?
10 years ago, which means 10 years ago, right around this time.
Oy.
You and I were at a bar on the north side, and one of our usual spots on the north side.
It was Mad River.
Yep. And
it's not there anymore, though, right?
It's called The River.
Oh, they classed it up
yeah, a little bit. It's called The River.
Man, back in the day.
And this song came on, and we had no idea what it was, but every girl in the place,
every girl in the bar,
knew every damn word.
All started singing at once.
And I was like, well, I better get to know this song, because this is going to be a thing.
You know those TikTok videos of the sorority girls singing songs?
Yep.
How they all start chanting together, and you feel like you're entering the gates of hell?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was like at Mad River.
Yes.
You know, not many things really make me feel old.
That does.
This does. The fact that we were young in our prime, early 20s, ready to rock and roll.
Mid-20s. It's 10 years early. Ago, bro. Do the math.
Felt good.
No.
Felt good.
Mid-20s.
Could drink all night, wake up at 7 a.m.
Mid-20s. Not early.
Felt great.
We're like 20. We were 26.
10 years ago.
We were 26. This song went to number one in basically every country ever.
Wasn't Bro Connor talking to...
Yeah. I've actually seen her live. She's not bad. She puts on a good show.
Who, the Tressman?
No. No, Carly Rae Jepsen. That's a whole nother report. It's hard to look oh, man. Didn't get to number one in the U.S., though.
Was I not supposed to say that?
Number two. Number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Number two at the end of the year chart for the U.S. Hot 100. Do you know it was number one?
At this time?
Well, and for the end of the year.
Timberlake or T.I.? Rihanna? Carly Rae Jepsen, your song of the night, Call Me Maybe.
Turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, Larry.
Do you want to know what number one was?
Yeah.
Remember that? Somebody that I used to know.
Oh, yeah. Goat? Gautier?
Gautier, yeah. Yeah.
You want to do that song tomorrow and really annoy people?
Nope. That song was so annoying.
Yeah.
The video was even worse. Where he's like painted into the walls and stuff. Ugh.
I'm trying to think how it goes now.
Now you're just somebody that I used to know.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, that song sucked. That was awful. That was terrible.
Carly Rae Jepsen was robbed.
No, that was a time, man. That was a moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was...
When that was going on.
Yeah, because we were 25.
It was great.
26.
Yeah, we knew where every single bar where there was dollar beers and we just rotate each night of the week.
Mad River was a time back then.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's The River. It's classic.
But Mad River, we never went there until it was like after 12:30 at night.
No, you don't get to the river early.
No. The floor's not sticky enough.
No, yeah. You need a good stick.
The good stick.
You need that good stick.
Well, that's where we would do our pregame at Kirkwood.
Yeah,
for like
you walk across the street.
8.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then you watch two full college football games there and then walk across the street.
Across the street to the river, Mad River.
And then people would be like, is that the place where R. Kelly lived? And we'd be like, I think so.
Across the street.
That's what they say.
Other side of the street.
Next to the, what was that, a Hertz rental car place?
Yeah. Enterprise, whatever.
Enterprise, yes, Enterprise.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a rental car place, whatever.
Look at us with Lincoln Park information.
Yep.
Or is that still considered South Lakeview?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Or is that North Lincoln Park?
I think it's still technically Lincoln Park because I think Kirkwood considers themselves in Lincoln Park.
Hmm, really?
I don't know. And you know what, Chris? I don't care. It's on Sheffield. Figure it out.
What? But this is not a promotion for Kirkwood.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Like, I don't.
I'm sure
care
the people I go know. They like, have figured it out.
Like, I don't care. I don't care. 312-332-3776.
There's no calling.
All right.
It's a podcast and we're done.
And we have a show tomorrow.
We do?
Yeah.
All right. Full show?
Tuesday.
All right.
Early, 6 to 8.
We'll do some early lines.
Early lines. Maybe a
little five up, five down.
Five up, five down. That's what it's called now.
What did you think it was called?
We used to do Even Better Worse. Yeah, and that's what I started to say.
That's way, way better.
I know. That's what I started to say. That's what I meant to say.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Shout out to Ted Lasso, by the way.
Winning everything. Yeah. Sudeikis crushing that velvet suit. I didn't know that Zach Braff directed the episodes that they submitted.
Only one. He only directed one episode.
They submitted that episode for consideration.
Yeah. It was a good episode.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Emmys and whoever, I guess, consumes CBS television, all of your shows your show promos
not great.
Sound completely made up. Do you see the promo for Ghosts?
Yeah.
That's made up.
Well, I just read a story made up. That someone, it's some complete, showrunner...
completely phony shows that they have on CBS. And also the bits on CBS during the Emmys.
Yeah.
No shade towards Cedric the Entertainer. He's fantastic. But the bits that they ran throughout the program...
Bad bits.
The absolute worst horse blank I've ever seen in my life. Well, you call that comedy?
I'm definitely...
All right.
I don't know who said it. It was either a showrunner or someone said that they left CBS because they want them to lean into stereotypical tropes of like, oh, we got weird neighbors here. What are we going to do?
They're neighbors. The neighbors are coming out by
one's older and black,
each other.
One's younger and white. Whoa, guess who's coming to dinner?
They think there's going to be conflict, but like, instead they're friends.
It's so stupid.
And then the one where she gives the kidney and so she's in him.
Bob Abishola.
No, that's a different one.
Oh, that
is? The nurse and the guy who's injured.
Same thing.
No, but you haven't seen the kidney one?
No, I've heard of it, yeah.
They're like, what
but
is
I
it?
I thought it was Bob Abishola.
It's like, be positive or something?
Yeah. Get out of here with that.
I need a kidney. Well, I've got a kidney. And then they're friends because they share body parts.
Yeah.
We should pitch a show.
Okay.
To them.
You want to pitch a show? Here you go. My dad. So, you know, there's already some racial tropes there.
Yes.
Has a cow heart. He has a valve. He had a heart attack and he needed a valve replacement. This is a true story.
So he moves to a farm to be close to the cow.
So they used a valve from a cow.
And
now he finds
The cow? The farmer?
No, I mean not the
cow. He marries the farmer.
No, yes.
On Farmers Only.
Yes, my dad's divorced.
So he goes on Farmers Only. He marries the farmer lady.
He finds the farmer lady. She's super white because he's Egyptian.
Yes.
Okay. Doesn't like hookahs on the farm. That's a running joke.
You could also do a little red state, blue state action there. Move him down to Kentucky.
Sure.
Put him on the farm. See how that goes.
Tries to figure out Ramadan and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Then he also finds out that the son or daughter, whatever cows have, of the cow, of the cow whose heart part he has is on that farm.
Well, yeah, because she's the farmer. Make sense.
It makes it, and they're pets now. That cow's a pet now.
So what would the name of this sitcom be?
Bob Abishola.
No, what would the name be?
Mustafa Abishola.
Mustafa and the calf?
Hold on. I can do better than this.
Could you milk the cow?
Where's the beef?
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.